the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas!
The book of Micah concludes its seven chapters, and there are a couple of verses. We'll come back. But it says this, that according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. Just like getting delivered from slavery is the blessing and the restoration of God. Who is a God like unto thee that hath pardoned iniquity and passed by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. God does delight in mercy. That's the biblical God, our Creator, our Redeemer. And we hope you know him. And we welcome you to this edition of Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland, along with Bert Harper. We're going to wrap up the book of Micah. We're going to talk about Christmas, take some phone calls from you. And Bert, I just think we'll have a real good time on this edition of Exploring the Word.
I do as well. And again, Micah is a great, great book, not just because of the propheticness of the Bethlehem story, but when you see Micah and how he, I would say, kind of like the psalmist in a lot of places, pours out his heart to God, and then God responds. It's a beautiful book, Alex, and I agree with that fully. And you've already read that one that I had highlighted and underlined. Who is a God like you? One more, in case we don't get over all the verses. We're going to get the highlights for sure. But verse 7, therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Now that comes after, all the disappointment, especially verses 5 and 6, where you can't trust a friend. You don't know what your brother or sister is going to do to you. You don't even know for sure about your spouse, but we can trust in God. Alex, that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Well, it really is. The book wraps up. The first six verses are kind of a woe and a despair about how bad things are. Yes. Because of really the loss of morality, the sins. Verse 7 begins, therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. When nobody else will help me, I know God will. Let me just read a few of these verses from the first six verses of Micah chapter 7. The first verse is basically like, I'm hungry, but the fruit, the harvest has already been gathered, nothing to eat. The good man is perished from the earth. Noah, upright among men, they all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man, his brother, with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. I mean, that's really evil, verse 3.
That really, I just take just a second, comment on it. Not just one hand tied behind them, but out front with both hands means they wasn't trying to hide anything. It was evil, plain out in front of everyone. Alex, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, people are sinful, and there's just despair about that. And the judge asked for a reward. In other words, there's no justice, because even if you did get a hearing, the judge would say, I'll adjudicate for whoever buys me off.
The New King James says bribe, and that's exactly the word.
Right. The great man, he utters his mischief desire, so they wrap it up, says verse 3, or they scheme together. Judge and powerful man scheme together. Now, verse 4 is interesting to me. What do you think of when you think of a briar?
Oh, man, it hurts. Yeah, painful.
It really is. And you might think, well, a thorn or a briar is no big deal. But if you're trying to get through the woods or a field, or you're working and you get, let me tell you, the right kind of briars can do you some damage. Just trust me on that. Now, people are sinful. Verse 4, the best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. In other words, confusion. When it's saying, hey, the best people in town are like briars that will cut you open and leave you bleeding, that's a tough, tough time, isn't it?
It really is. Now, let me set this up before you go to verses 5 and 6. If you watch the people he's naming, they get closer and closer and closer to your life, to his life. In other words, they're out there. This one's a little closer. But when you come to verses 5 and 6, Alex, that you're about to read and share, these are the ones you should be able to trust completely. But go ahead.
Trust not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide or a close companion. It's interesting because I think verse 5 ends up with a hint of immorality. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Now, I would hope if you're lying next to someone, that's your spouse. But whether or not it's a spouse or someone illicit, in other words, be careful what you say. Even the closest, your wife, watch out what you say. Verse 6, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own house. That's the breakdown of the family. That's Bert. There are murders nowadays and domestic violence, and this breakdown of the family, we see it all around us. And I quoted a couple of months ago a German historian from about 125 years ago who said that when the family is lost, a culture is finished.
Yeah.
Now, we know God can restore, and we certainly pray for that, but just as we grieve over the soul of our nation today, the prophet here is laying out, I know there's sin and violence in the street, there in any city there are going to be evil people, but when it's even in the home, no sanctuary to be found anywhere, that's a culture that needs the restoration of God.
It is. So what are you going to do? What shall I do when you can't trust a friend, your family's turned against you, there's no confidence even in your spouse, nothing there. Verse 7, therefore, always look at why it's there. I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. This is it. We have our confidence in God. And Micah, this blesses my heart. He understands what's going on around him, Alex. He knows the difficulty. He's not denying it. He's not living in a dream world. But he says, even when it's like this, my confidence, I will look to the Lord. And that word, I will look under the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I think that's Psalm 122 or 22, if I remember it right. But we will look unto the Lord, and I will wait for the God of my salvation. Alex, don't get in a hurry. Don't get ahead of God. You say, well, don't walk behind him either. Well, you want to walk together. Can two, walk together unless they be agreed? So what we want to do is find out where God is and join him, and my God will hear me. Alex, it sets up right here in the middle of the difficulties. He's going to go back to some darkness. I'll sit in the darkness. But right in the middle of it, no matter before, what comes before, or what takes place afterwards, our trust is in the Lord, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. And so he says, I'm going to turn to the Lord. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise when I sit in darkness. The Lord shall be a light unto me. Now, verse 9, it elaborates verse 8, really. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her, now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. Okay, here he's saying, look, I'm bowed down. And it's a very mature, honest position. He says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I sinned against him. In other words, I'm willing to face the consequences of my actions. Bert, so many people are not willing to do that. I was counseling with a pastor's son who claimed to be an atheist. And I won't go into all the details, but his best friend had broken the law and gotten thrown out of a Christian college and later, sadly, committed suicide. And so this pastor's son decided to become an atheist. And he said, oh, this bad stuff that happened to my friend at college. And I said, well, I'm sorry he took his own life, and that's a terrible, tragic thing. But he broke multiple rules, got kicked out of school, broke the law, got in trouble with the police. I'm sad that your friend took his life, but don't blame God.
Right.
You know, when you sin and there are repercussions, you can't blame God. And here Micah is being very honest. You know, I will bear the indignation because I sinned. And then ultimately, God will plead my cause.
Isn't that beautiful? He will plead my case,
Amen.
My cause. God is on our side. That goes back again to verse 7 and connect verse 7 with everything that good that Micah says. He continues, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, David wrote, when I covered my sin, I did not prosper. See, here's the thing. If you try to justify yourself and cover your sin and deny accountability, it's only going to get harder and worse. But if you repent to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I admit it. I have sinned. And Lord, I need your forgiveness. God will undertake
Amen.
For you. I mean, he's our advocate. And now the enemies will see this. And the ones that accused you and belittled and demeaned you, they will see you'll be, I want to say exonerated. I'll put it this way. In time, if you humble yourself before
Amen.
God, you'll be validated,
Amen.
Forgiven, restored.
The rest of the story is God's story in his,
yes.
in his vindication. Verse 11 proceeds with a prophet. What he's talking about is going to happen in Assyria, the river, everything, judgment from sea to sea and mountain to mountain. There's no place too low. There's no place too high. Verse 13, yet the land shall be desolate because of those who dwell in it and for the fruit of their deeds. In other words, those evil produces evil, Alex. Evil people, evil consequences, even in the land. Now, what does he pray? Let me get to this. Verse 14, I really wanted to get this in the first
I
segment.
I love this.
I do too. Let me just read it and you carry us out to the end. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a woodland, in the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days of old. Shepherd your people. What a statement, Alex.
Amen. I love this. The shepherd, that's Jesus Christ. The staff, or some translations will say the rod, that's God's power. That's God's care and protection of his people. The flock of thine heritage.
Amen.
You know, heritage speaks of many years of family lineage, a plan, you know, something being perpetuated. It's very wonderful that you and I, if you're a believer, we are the people of God's heritage. Now, there's a couple of more just absolute nuggets in this chapter, but we've got a great show, folks. This is Exploring the Word. We're in Micah chapter 7, last day to wrap up the book of Micah. We'll talk a little bit about Christmas, maybe some Christmas music even in the next segment. Stay tuned. Your calls, your questions, and more. Merry Christmas from Exploring the Word. We're back after this.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Amen. I'm telling you, Alex, Brent Austin is grooving over there on the other side of that microphone with that song. It was bringing it out.
That song would do it. Yeah. King Jesus is his name.
Verse 15, listen to this. And I think this is filled with promise, Alex. As in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them marvelous things. God's going to show marvelous things again, isn't he? He's not through working with his people and working with us even, is he?
No. Yes, he's going to show marvelous things. 16, the nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. Now, let me say this. When Jesus returns, you know, the Bible says every eye will see, you know, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. I think about this, the M-I-G-H-T, verse 16, the might of nations. But power, money, infrastructure, weapons, that's not going to do any good. Even like at the Battle of Armageddon, the 200 million soldiers of the Antichrist will be vanquished with a mere sigh, the breath of King Jesus. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. So this 15, 16, 17, God's people delivered, the nations that reject truth, embrace sin. They will bow and grovel and genuflect before the King who returns. Let me read through this and we'll comment. Verse 18 to the conclusion. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Now, you remember when we were back in verse 14, it says that we, if you're a believer, we are the flock of his heritage, and he pardons our transgression. He doesn't stay angry and wrathful. He delights in mercy. See, God delights to show you mercy. You might think you're too sinful to be forgiven. No, you turn to Jesus. It is his joy and delight to wash your sin away. Verse 19, he will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You've heard people say that. In the depths of the sea, he's cast our sin. Well, there it is in Micah 7:19. Verse 20, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Bert, in verse 20 is the word that really determines the fate of nations, even the souls of people. T-R-U-T-H,
yes.
Truth. God will perform the truth. What is the truth? It's Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Alex, truth and mercy, right there, the truth.
The two things.
The two things that will make the difference in every individual. You got to face the truth. And what you did earlier about Micah not denying that he was a sinner as well, yes, all these people that he talked about, verses 1 through 6, they're horrible. We didn't see that. But he did not deny his own shortcoming, his own sin. He took ownership of that. And here in truth, that's what you got to do. You got to take ownership of who you are, know the truth of who you are, know the truth of what God has done, what he wants to do, and how he can operate. And that is mercy. And so if there's those of you who are listening today, and as Alex said, you think, oh, my sin is too great. No, listen. Who was it said, my sin was great, but his grace is greater, you know? And Alex, that's the whole truth. Come to Christ. Don't try to deny it. Oh, I'm good enough. No, no one's good enough. All have sinned. And so here it is. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham. Alex, what a combination.
Well, let me share a scripture because, you know, the Bible interprets the Bible. The Bible enlightens other passages of the Bible. When I read this in Micah 7:20, as we conclude this great part of God's Word, thou wilt perform truth and will show mercy. It reminds me of Psalm 85, 8 9:10. Let me read this. He says, "I will hear what God has to say." Now listen, "Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." Psalm 85:10. "Mercy and truth are met together."
There it is.
"Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." What is that saying? When you've got Jesus, you've got truth and you've got his mercy. You've got not only righteousness that we did not have, but he gives to us when we repent and believe. In the eyes of God, you're washed clean of guilt and you're declared righteous. And Romans 5:1, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, only Christianity can make these kind of promises. You know, I've said it many times. Forgive me, I'll say it, and we're going to change gears here in a minute. But 100 years ago in the 20s, there was talk of what they called comparative religion. In other words, every religion has truth, and that's false. There's only one true religion. It's not religion, it's relationship. But G.K. Chesterton said of Jesus's birth and life and resurrection, he said, "Only Christianity has truth." He said, "No other religion has any good news, because no other religion has any news." I mean, there's dead works, and then there's God who came into the world, died and rose again. You may know him personally. You have mercy and truth if you have Jesus. You have righteousness and peace with God if you have Jesus. That really, really is the good news.
It is good news. And if you need help, we have partners and they'll help you. You can call 888-NEED-HIM. 888-NEED-HIM. They'll pray with you. They'll share with you. There could not be anything happen better than an individual come to know Jesus Christ as Savior during this Christmas season. He came on the greatest rescue mission ever. We talk about rescue missions. Jesus came to rescue sinners. And we are those people. And if you've never been rescued by Jesus Christ through his blood, by trusting him, I pray that you would today. Again, you can call 888-NEED-HIM. Well, Alex, this week we wanted to make a special week. And on Monday, you and Jeff did a great job. And then on Tuesday, Brent Austin gave us his favorite Christmas song, which was Silent Night. Yesterday, you gave your favorite Christmas song, "O Holy Night." Well, I haven't got another night to add to that, but I do. Matter of fact, I did not know my grandson Caleb would say his favorite Christmas song was "Mary, Did You Know?" But he was foreshadowing his papaw. I want us to hear "Mary, Did You Know?" Just let me give you a little bit. It's sung, this one is sung by Mark Lowry. He's the one that wrote the words. Buddy Green would put the music to it in 1991. And we're going to tell you a little bit of the history after you hear it. But I love this song. Again, it's simple. And some people say, "Oh, it's too simple." Well, you remember what Karl Barth, he was a great theologian. He was asked in Chicago to summarize his whole life's work in theology in a sentence. He answered, "Yes, I can do that. In the words of the song I learned at my mother's knee, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so."
Amen.
Some of the simplest truths are the deepest in the world.
Yes.
And when I hear "Mary, Did You Know?", I know it sounds that simple, but it's so deep that God would become man as a little babe and dwell among us. So
yes,
enjoy this. "Mary, Did You Know?"
"Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great
Alex, I love those other songs, but that you're holding the great I am. That song's amazing.
Praise God, Bert. I'm glad that's your favorite Christmas song. I'm glad we got to hear it by Mark Lowry, who wrote those words. I don't say this lightly, but that is a near perfect song. And I'm going to say in those words, I was just listening to all those words. This baby boy has been where angels trod. And Mary, when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. That's true. Heaven's perfect lamb, the Bethlehem baby, is the great I am. There is a seminary education in the lyrics of that song.
There really is. And let's go over the history just a little bit. Mark Lowry, great guy, and we talked about it yesterday when you was talking to my grandson that you
knew. We were in Sunday school with his mom and dad. We really were for 5 years.
That was awesome. And here it is. He was asked by his church to help in a Christmas program. And so he started just writing a series of questions and started answering them, and it resulted in this song. And it was first just words, and it was things. And then that was in 1985. And in 1991, Buddy Green, a great guitarist, songwriter, a harmonica. He was a classic
harmonica player.
And he put the music to it, which is, you know, the words are great, but it set with that music just sets it apart. And so it became a song, and it was first recorded by Michael English. And it was, Mark Lowry and Michael English, they were touring with the Bill Gaithers, Bill Gaither at that time. And so they did this and put it together. And so it's a beautiful story of how it came about. And I say it this way. Now, Mark can sing. Mark can, you know, do some great things. But he's to my sons, three sons, he is known as a comedian. Okay,
yeah. And he was funny too.
He
is
was
funny.
Yeah. And so here it is. Quote this comedian writing this great Christmas song. I just love it, brother.
Yeah, I do too. I really do. And it brings back fond memories for me because when Angie and I first got married, we moved to Lynchburg, and I went to seminary and graduate school at Liberty. Thomas Road Baptist Church, folks, I don't know if you remember Jerry Falwell, but he was fantastic. And Thomas Road put on this Christmas pageant every year. For years and years, it was the Living Christmas Tree. And then they began to call it the Central Virginia Christmas Spectacular. And I mean, that I think that's where that song probably made its debut. But the rich, beloved songs of Christmas. I encourage you, folks, maybe you've got some old records. Maybe you've got Bing Crosby's Decca Christmas album, or maybe you've got Mahalia Jackson, or maybe you've got something else. But get into the songs of Christmas from now till next week and think about Jesus, because he is the message, isn't he?
He is. And listen, we're going to take phone calls, prayer requests, whatever it is you have today. That number is 888-589-8840. The lines are open. Give us a call today.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Well, we wish you a Merry Christmas as well. Hey, thanks to all this great Christmas music. We call it, you know, the punch out. That's going to a commercial. The rejoin when we come back. Bert, Brent Austin picks real good music, doesn't he?
He does. I appreciate him so much. He is varied in his music. He has a wide variety that he enjoys. And I don't know. You know he's a drummer, right?
You know, I'd forgotten, but yeah, I think he told me that.
You're the guitarist, he's the drummer, and I'm the listener.
Yeah.
You always need a listener.
So we're a musical show. Now, I want to give the telephone number because we would love to hear from you all, but I'm going to tell you something else, too. The number, toll-free, if you'd like to call with a Bible question or maybe just some Christmas joy, the number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And now we want you to listen in tomorrow. Tomorrow's Fire Away Friday. And on Fridays, we do all questions, all the hour. But we're going to talk about Christmas trivia. Now, it's not trivial. I mean, this is truth here. But some facts about Christmas, just some wonderful, I think, heartwarming things. So plan to be with us tomorrow and let us hear from you. Call in if you've never called in. We'd love to hear from you. But I want to say it. We wish you one and all a merry, merry Christmas. We love you in the Lord. We thank God for you. And Bert, Jesus and all that is our relationship with Christ, doesn't it make life wonderful?
It makes life wonderful. It is a wonderful life. Now, I know that's the name,
Amen. But
it is. But we're going to turn the tables tomorrow. We're asking the questions, and yeah. The people are giving answers. Brent's going to join us. We're going to start out with two questions apiece, and you can call in and see if you can answer one of them. And so we're going to have some. It's going to be Bible, and it's going to be great. It's going to be some other Christmas things as well, so we're looking forward to it. So join us tomorrow and tell others about it. Let's get to the phone calls and get to as many people as we can. Sydney from Kansas, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I actually have a question more for a friend. He attends a Reformed Protestant. They're a large.
You're breaking up, Sydney. Try again, real quick.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead. Now you're clear.
Sorry about that. I have a question for a friend who attends a Reformed Protestant church here in Kansas where kind of a lot of friends and a lot of members are leaving her church to join the Christian Orthodox Church. And naturally, that's kind of shaken her up a little bit and given her some doubts and some questions. And I honestly don't know enough about it to really encourage her. From how she understands it, it sounds like they believe the Orthodox Church is the one true church and that other Protestant churches are essentially heretical. And so I just wanted to ask you guys if you could speak to what is Christian Orthodoxy? Is it the same gospel? How can I encourage her that she's not wrong?
Okay, Sydney, thank you. Alex, we've got a lot of calls coming in. You go answer, and if I have a little comment, I'll make it. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Christian Orthodoxy really affirms several things, that Jesus is the Son of God. That's John 8:24. You have to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins, and we must repent. That's Luke 13:3, and believe. That's Acts 16:31, and that's John 3:16. Now, there's a lot we could say, but I think we have to make a distinction, Bert, between the doctrine of Orthodox Christian biblical salvation and then church. There's a lot of ways to do corporate worship, which we call church, and that's the big topic called ecclesiology. Now, salvation is called soteriology. So, Bert, in reality, Orthodox Christianity affirms Jesus is the Son of God. Through faith in him, we become a child of God. The Bible is the Word of God. In a quick, loose sense, we affirm Jesus, we affirm God's written revelation, we put our faith in that, and we are saved through Christ and Christ alone. Now, I realize in terms of church, there's what we might call high church, there's informal church, the Greek, the Orthodox Church, and by the way, there was a split many years ago, about 1,000 years ago, East and West. The Eastern Church is the Orthodox or the Greek Church. The Western Church was the Catholic Church, and then a subset of that became Protestantism, and of course the Church of England and Anglicanism. Bert, here's the thing. 1 John 5:1 says this, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Really, if you accept Jesus and what he did on the cross and Christ alone for salvation, you're Orthodox regardless of what name is over the door. You read me?
Yeah, it is true. Sydney, we hope that helps. A lot of times you got to go to that individual church and hear what Alex is talking about to see if that local church does fall into that category of what we said, affirming who God is through Jesus Christ, affirming the Word of God, and affirming that you're saved by grace through faith. Thank you, Sydney. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Vince. Vince, thank you for calling.
Hi. So I was hearing y'all talk about Mary, Did You Know? And it got me thinking about some other songs like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, where they it was written in about 1500s and is roughly translated to God keep you joyful or mighty, comma, gentlemen, so that he's not keeping us as merry gentlemen or joyful and mighty, but he is keeping us mighty. And I guess I was just wondering if y'all had any other songs, particularly Christmas, that y'all thought just had a good message that we should be maybe listening to or meditating on.
Vince, thank you. Listen, in a way, I know this is simplistic. Those of you listen know that. But I love the children's song, Away in a Manger. Just think about that. And the other one that I dearly love, and it became very important to me, when I got to go to Israel, you was talking about, Alex, you didn't get to go to Bethlehem. We got to go and stay in Bethlehem. Town of Bethlehem. It's talking about Bethlehem, but when you see the promises in it, it's an awesome song. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, two songs, and I read these lyrics and read these lyrics. One is Joy to the World. I mean, really, the lyrics of Joy to the World are very deep, and maybe you might want to read those slowly and meditate on those. And the other, again, very deep, we hear it to the point that we almost kind of forget it. Hark, the herald angels sing. Those are great. And maybe tomorrow we'll do a deep dive on some of the lyrics, but another one, O Come, Emmanuel. Very, very profound, biblical, very deep lyrics. How we worship the Lord. And isn't it beautiful that some of our most beloved composers, poets, artists, and writers have been moved to create the most beloved art and music of the world, loved for centuries, all about the coming of Jesus.
Where would we be without those believers who wrote these great songs? Brent, you got a song you want to tell us about? I saw you setting your microphone over there.
You guys have left out Little Drummer Boy.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Amen. I can tell you tomorrow on one of my questions, it's a question about that song. So we'll get to that tomorrow. Thank you, Brent. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to John. John, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. It's good to talk to you. Hey, I had a question about the book of Jude. I actually had two questions, and hopefully you could kind of give me some insight. First, when it talks about Michael kind of disputing with the devil and rebuking him through the name of the Lord, I couldn't find that anywhere in the Bible. However, I found that it may be in something called the Assumption of Moses.
Yes.
But then the other question I have, which is the usual suspect in the book of Jude, is some talk about Enoch and everything, which also isn't in the Bible, but is in the book of Enoch, which was not canonized. And, you know, we know that everything in the Bible is a spoken word of God. But I kind of just wanted to get your viewpoint on that, if you could.
Go ahead, Alex. Do it as quickly as you can. Got three other callers trying to get to.
Yeah, this is amazing. And Jude is just one chapter. So some people might say Jude 1. All right, in the key verses that people talk about are verse 6, verse 9, verse 14, and verse 15. So let me say this. There are some historical things, like there was this work called the Book of Enoch. And then there was the Assumption of Moses. These were not canonical. But apparently, Satan accused Moses of being a murderer, and Michael argued with him. And then also, the Book of Enoch is referenced, which was not Scripture. But let me just say this. Paul referenced Greek poets that weren't necessarily Scripture. There are historical things in the Old Testament that the annals and the wars of Israel that was a book, but you say, well, why would the Bible reference writings that were historical but weren't inspired Scripture? Well, the Bible references cities that they weren't heaven, but they were historical cities. The Bible references people like Herod and Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, and they weren't called of God necessarily, but they were historical. So Jude references historical works, just like we might reference D.L. Moody and Billy Graham. But here's the thing, spiritually and yes, historically, we can trust the Bible.
Amen. John, we hope that helps. Thank you, brother. Let's go to Illinois and talk to William. William, thank you for calling.
Thank you, brothers. I was in the Navy, took two cruises to the Mediterranean back in 61. I was born in 1944. I'm back to the old line denominations when they were real strong. But we had ships coming in there from different ports to join the Sixth Fleet. Now, these denominations back then were all headed to one destination. They were different, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, all the way through all the old line denominations that were true sailors. Now, we learned a lot from each other if we'd get out of our seat and look over how the other brothers were doing. And I think that could happen today, but some of them got themselves off that course that they were going to, yeah. And some of them kind of got turned around and going the wrong way. But I hope that helps everybody out that's got different denominations. You can learn from each other and more truth from each other that you didn't have maybe from somebody else.
Amen, William. Let me just tell you, Alex and I take it on ourselves. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're part of another denomination than other, we make much of Jesus. We're not going to go into all that. But, Alex, listen, you said it earlier when you was talking about the Orthodox. That's what you want to look at. Do they teach who Jesus Christ is, what he's done, and the truth that he taught? That's the real deal, isn't it?
Yep. If you're a believer in Jesus, we're family. Amen. We really are. It's that beautiful fellowship that we have with those who have been born again.
Heaven's going to be a real good place up there when we're together with him. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, William. Let's go to Tennessee. Mary, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I was calling requesting prayer. My friend had a stroke, and also I have a daughter who's right now in jail, and she's got three kids who are in CPS custody.
Mm. Can you give us first names? If you can't, that's all right.
My friend that had a stroke, her name's Paralee, and my daughter that's in jail, her name's Abigail.
Abigail. Okay. Alex, let's take time to pray for that and pray for Mary, would you, brother?
Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for Mary calling in, and we pray for these prayer requests. Paralee and Abigail, and we lift up the one who's had a stroke, Lord, please undertake and let there be complete healing and restoration. And then the one that's in jail, Lord, I pray, we would pray for release, but Lord, I pray even in this low point of life that you would speak to this young lady and work and bring this person thoroughly to you so that when things do get resolved, they will walk with you and something like this would never happen again. So draw people close to you, and in your will, may salvation, healing, forgiveness, restoration, blessing, and favor be present in these two lives and in the lives of all listening. And we ask it in Christ's name for his glory. Amen.
Amen, Mary. Thank you. Chris in Tennessee, we got about 30 seconds for your question. Go ahead, brother. See what we can do.
All right. Well, I'm just going to bring up the story of Joseph, man. In 45, we know the story that he got said he was oh, my God.
Joseph, back in the Old Testament. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Let me forgive me for jumping in here, Chris. I love the story of Joseph. He wasn't talking about Jesus's daddy, but in Genesis 37 through 45, and then also Genesis 50, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. And Joseph, I wrote a whole book about him. It's really a picture of Jesus. And I didn't, forgive me, Chris, I didn't mean to steamroll you, but I knew that music was going to come.
But yeah, we try to work people in sometimes, and we really don't have time, but we want to hear from you so bad we do that. I'm telling you about Joseph. Far as my wife's concerned, he is my wife's favorite character in the Old Testament. And what a man he was, Alex. He delivered his people just like Jesus would deliver us, didn't he?
I wrote 40 parallels between Joseph and Jesus in my book about him. But hey, listen, we appreciate everybody listening. Tomorrow's going to be really great. We're going to quiz you guys, everybody. So put on your thinking cap and be ready to answer some Christmas questions. And I think we'll have a great time tomorrow on Fire Away Friday.
And we'll see you tomorrow. Tell someone about the program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.